Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
All go running around and around and around, and now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. He's Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it's time to step into the Sippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. And Karen Owen Lee is joining us today. Karen is a senior expert. And what does that mean? Because I love what Karen does, because really, we need more of that. But what is even better with Karen is that she is a second-generation senior expert. Now, that's very unusual. So not only did she get to do her own research for the past 30 or so years, she also was lucky enough to learn from her mother everything that her mother knew. That's an expert on top of an expert. Now, what more can you ask for? Elder care and aging. That's the expertise we're talking about. That really, not only that it's huge today, because we have so many people that are in need and so many elderly that are in need, but it's also growing in an astronomical rate. So we're going to need more of Karen every day. We need more of that. Because so many people are lost. Corporations are clueless. Associations are struggling. But the worst part of it is that people in need, the elderly or the seniors, they're the ones that are paying the price, because their services are being butchered. And now that they need it the most, they're not getting what they need. Besides all that, Karen has also authored a book called The Caring Code and What Boomers Need to Know About Seniors. I would think if you have any seniors in your life, and if you know anybody, you have to read this book. You have to know so many things that you're going to learn one way or the other. So you either learn by trial and error, like I did, bad way to go, or you get some help from experts. So I'd like to welcome Karen Owen Lee to Tippy Talk. Welcome, Karen, and thank you so much for joining us today to discuss this important issue.
Oh, Tippy, thank you so much for having me, because it really is my passion. And I really believe that people need to get a plan together before a crisis hits.
Yeah, and you have to be really smart to do that. So would you say that the first thing they would probably have to do is read your book? Because it sounds to me like that's what they would have to do.
It's only 96 pages, so you can run through it. It's got it's a guidebook. It's got sections to write in and get your plan together so that you don't feel all alone. At least you have some background of information.
Exactly. And that's really important because basically the day comes and all of a sudden you find out that someone you loved, could be a parent or an aunt or a grandparent, needs help. And I think that's when the deer in the light is like, oh my God, what do I do? Is that when you come in?
I can come in then, but what I like to do is have everybody have a plan before the crisis hits. And when I say crisis, it might be a broken hip, might be a heart condition, whatever it would be, so that the senior, before they become less in control, that they can help with the plan. So, and it really is up to more than one person. And usually what happens is there's one person as the caregiver, and that's extremely stressful for one person to do. So I liked how you said an aunt and uncle, because when you look at putting a plan together, you can get everybody, not only friends and family, which some people don't have, but the clergy, the next door neighbor, friends. You can get them all involved in one way or another. It might just be a call every day, that's all that's needed at that time. But to have the future in sight, too. Things might be great. You know, mom's out playing golf, that's fine. But you never know what happens, and you want the senior to be involved as much as possible.
So you're really saying to everyone that sooner or later they're going to be in a position where they have to take care of someone, they should plan ahead, not wait until somebody gets a heart attack or a heart condition or a diagnosis. That's what you're saying?
Yes, and you know what's interesting is that my clientele can be as young as 45 and they have to take care of their grandparent. I've had that happen many, many times. Or you know, someone else in the family, but you have to start early and you have to be clear. So starting too early is not a bad idea. You don't know, again, what the future will bring.
Right. And you know for sure that in the future, somewhere along the line, this is something you're going to have to think about. So the earlier you think about it, the better it is. So
just be in a car accident, have a heart attack and die, and the plan is never needed, except you still have to have the paperwork in order and, you know, the burial or whatever their wishes would be. You have to have all of that in order.
Yeah, and all that is really important, and I definitely have one really huge question about something that you said. But before I do that, what made you kind of start working with specifically the senior care and that part of life? What got you interested in that?
I love that question. I lived in York, Pennsylvania, and it's a city that's very populated with the Southern Amish and Mennonite cultures. And so my mother was my best friend, and we would go down to the farmer's market, which is a real building, and it's been there for, you know, 60 years or something. And the ladies at the stand were all of the different cultures. And what we found is that, I'll just, for example, take the Amish. The Amish ladies behind the counter were like 103. And they were standing there helping customers, making change. It was just, it was a phenomenal eye-opener to the two of us. And my mother turned to me and said, we've got to find out a better way for mainstream America to be able to take care of their seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started our journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that's how you started it. So you were not part of the Amish town. You just lived in that area.
Yes, yes, yes. My mother was a professor of psychology, and she just decided she wanted to start the first gerontology program at the local college, and I was her first student.
I love it.
Well, you open the catalog for classes, and who wants to learn about older people? They, mm-hmm. you know, now it's the rage. Back then, she was a pioneer. So I was her first student, and I always like to say, and I graduated.
So can you define gerontology? Because I think I know what it is, but I want to be very clear about what that means.
It's the study of aging. It's the study of the social part, the cultural part of it, and the disease progression part of it. Let's say, for example, we're talking about Alzheimer's, and the stages that you go through are the parent, the resident, the relative goes through, and you need to know that in order to plan for the future. So those are the types of things that were covered. We covered recreation and all of the resources in the community, I guess, is the major thing.
So basically it's anything that has to do with not so much aging as after a certain age, like people that are like maybe getting not as strong as they used to be, or not aging like a 5-year-old ages and becomes 10 years old. It's an aging like a 65-year-old turns 75 years old.
Right. And we have 10,000 people a day are turning 65. Now,
wow.
So it's going to be exploding in the future. And we've got to learn how to handle those issues way before. There's got to be more than me.
Got to be more than you. Yeah.
As the senior expert, I do a lot of work with families. I do independent counseling with individuals. And then I do family work. And especially for those individuals that have dysfunctional families, and they're like, I'll never be able to get this clan together. So that's where I step in and work with everybody. And we leave the childhood issues outside the door, and we concentrate on the senior. And we come up with a plan.
So you said so many things that I would love to clarify a few things. So you said really there aren't enough of you. There aren't enough people really focusing on this, which is astronomical. Are you teaching it, or are you training anyone?
What I've done just recently in the past 10 years was I was a referral agent. In other words, I would help the adult child find the right community for the senior. And I took the families out to the assisted livings. I asked the professional questions. They asked the emotional and financial questions. And that just got to be tiring for me. So then I decided to write a lot of articles. I write articles every day and answer questions and do my coaching and consulting. I go out to corporations and give talks. I do associations, like you said. So my goal right now in life is to educate as many people as possible, because there are people out there doing one topic, and I'm not a one topic person. After 30 years, as you can tell, I have diarrhea of the mouth because I know so much. So.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of things that you want to get through and you don't have enough time. I love that you write an article every day. Actually, I think that's a great practice. I may take it up. I don't know if I can do it. It's a lot of work, but I may take it up because it's such a great idea.
But Tippi, the research is so much fun. And that's why I just love writing the articles. You just learn and learn and learn.
And you research it for every article, so you learn, so you, unbelievable, yeah. So one of the big confusion things, and you did mention that cultural and study of aging and progression, what is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? I'm so confused about it.
There are, I believe, 30 different types of dementia, and Alzheimer's happens to be the one, the umbrella, shall we say. And I guess dementia is the umbrella, and Alzheimer's is one of those.
So Alzheimer's is really dementia. It's one version of dementia.
Right. Early onset, it's amazing. We've seen more and more growth in the early onset, and that could be as early as 50 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite the disease or the,
it seems more like a plague.
Yeah. And it's very hard on the family because they knew their parents. You know, their parents had them born, and they raised them, they taught them, they gave them some discipline, can you imagine, and encouraged them for the rest of their lives. So what happened is they were your parents, and now you're their parents. So it's a switch in roles.
Well, you said it's hard on the family. And personally, I know exactly what you mean because my mother has very severe dementia. And I have to change her diaper sometimes when the baby's not here. And, of course, it's so difficult. But what I find more difficult than anything else, and I don't know if, from what I understand, a lot of families are going through it. My mom had a lot of babies, so I have a lot of sisters and a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that all her children can't find enough time to do anything, no matter how we approach them. It's me and my brother who are doing everything. And so I approach them in a nice way. I approach them in a scornful way. I approach them in a pragmatic way. They just cannot find the time to do anything to help. At all. Is that a typical thing in a family where one or two kids really take all the responsibility, or is it just my family?
Nope. I'm very sorry that your mother has it. 85% of my clients are female, and a lot of them are in-laws, the daughter-in-law, because we have always been known to be the caregiver. So that's why the women get usually led into that major role. But a lot of families just don't work like clockwork, but they all can do something. If you're a long-distance caregiver, let's say I live in Colorado and my family lives in Pennsylvania, and I called my father every morning at 7 a.m., sent him cards.
Does your father have dementia?
I'm sorry?
Does your father have dementia?
No, he did not. He had dementia. The one you just brought up a brilliant item, and that is that when someone is declining – hearing mm-hmm. is the last sense to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone sends a card, you could read it to the senior, and it may not look like they're listening. Let me tell you a personal experience. My father died last Labor Day, and he had he's a veteran of the Korean War and World War II. And I said every morning, like I said, he was in a coma, and I had the nurse take the phone over to him. And I said, "Dad, the greatest thing you did for this country is you were a veteran, and you fought, and you were a wonderful veteran. Today's a day that honors people like you, and I think it's time that you go ahead and pass. You don't need to stay around for the kids. We're all okay." And remember, he was in a coma, and he grunted. So the nurse and I knew that he may not have understood each word, but he knew who I was.
Mm-hmm. I just got the chills when you said that. Because it's a constant conflict for me to say that to my mom, that we don't need you, we're okay, they'll hang around for us, and not really having ever had that kind of conversation with her. I don't really know what she would have wanted. I know what I would have wanted. No.
What did she, as, let's just take your mother for example. What did she like when you were growing up? Did she have crafts or music or anything she enjoyed?
Yeah, I have. She loves a specific kind of music, and sometimes when I put it on, she literally starts crying. So I found that it took me 3 years to figure that out. That she loves that music. It makes her feel at home. I guess she for a while before she really started shutting down big time, she lived in her childhood for a long time. Like she would look for her parents when she was still looking. Talking and she would I'm thinking she probably lived, she thought she was still living with her parents.
Yeah.
So that music reminds her of her childhood. So obviously it's a good thing. She also has a comfort food, which is soup, which is really the only food she likes to eat. So yeah, I think finding something that makes them comfortable. But I'm talking about releasing them and telling her it's okay, you don't have to stay here and suffer anymore. I don't know. I have a really hard time with that. Do you think it's really like, I feel like that's what I would want, but how do I find out if she really would want that?
I did the same thing to my mother. I told her that my father and I had the conversation a few years before he passed. I said, "Do you have any fears of dying?" Which I know wouldn't work with your mother. But, you know, holding her and rocking and saying, "You know, Mom, it's okay. Whenever you need to go, you can go. But you know I'm here for you until then." And my biggest wish in my life is to have crawled in bed with my parents, either one, as they were passing. But unfortunately, I couldn't. And
Why would you have wanted to do that?
My aunt did it. Because she wanted to be as close as possible and tell him it's okay. And she rocked him, and he loved that motion. And they were just like they'd been married for, you know, 30 years, and it was like their first date, you know. And that's my thing. I mean, not everybody would want to do that, but that's my thing. Getting back to the music, what's really interesting is the music that most people like are the music that was played between the years of 8 and 13. That's what resonates with them. So,
right.
Anyway, something to think about.
Yeah, definitely something to think about, because there's so many different things to think about that we don't really think about in advance. And I think one of the big things to take away from you, one of the big important things is think about it beforehand. Like, I would call my kids now and tell them, if I'm ever in this situation, this is what I would want to do, not wait until I'm sick or getting sick or it's too late.
Right. Right.
I think,
right.
So in your book, you have a step-by-step plan on what are the things that you should really look at so that you have it organized. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, and let me just give you some hints on that one. The first one is to get an assessment done by not only, hopefully, it's a geriatrician, which is a physician that specializes in seniors. And, you know, maybe any specialist, heart specialist, a neurologist for your mother. A few other things that are really odd would be sight. Take them to the eye doctor. And the biggest one I cannot stress enough is dental. Not having dental health will cause heart condition, it increases diabetes. It's just amazing. So that should not be overlooked. And then it's the physician that makes the decision whether a senior can go into, for you, a memory care or an assisted living. You can't go in, you can't just walk in the door and take your family member there. You have to have a doctor's order. So it's very important that you get that done.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say, you talk about planning, because my book talks about planning. It's all about planning. Not specifically planning for this only,
right.
but really just planning. And I was just going through it. I'm rewriting it in the second edition. And of course, you know, you kind of get refreshed. If you don't plan, it's going to be, you're going to have to jump into it no matter what situation you're in. And it's very, very difficult. Very difficult to do that. So in the caring code, you have kind of like, I guess it would actually be like a Bible for people who really understand the importance. You can just look through it and look at whatever it is that you need.
One of my clients said to me that every single baby boomer should have a copy of this book in order to maneuver through the future. And seniors, I consider a senior about the age of 62. And, of course, they're much younger, but that's the average age. And 62 is the average age for going into an assisted living.
Well, I would say they would have to get the book at age 55 so that they would know, not wait until they're 60 if you need assisted living at 60 or at 70 or whatever. But it's never early enough, is it?
Well, and the children should be getting the book because they're going to be doing the work. So to do it,
Let's tell them how to get the book. It's called The Caring Code. You can go to Amazon and look for Karen Owen Lee. That's always an option. But the better option is go to the website, which is Karen Owen Lee. That's KarenOwenLee.com. And you said that you have a special there where you give people one chapter for free. And you can go there and get that as an ebook. And if everybody gets an ebook and contacts Karen and tells how we need a copy, maybe she'll be generous enough and do an actual hard copy of the book again.
I had a hard copy, and I had it reprinted 5 times, and then I thought, oh, my gosh, maybe I need to just turn to articles, and because it was getting, you would have to update it every year. So now on my website, I've got my blogs, my articles, everything that I did Blog Talk Radio for 4 years, And all of those segments are on there, too. So I don't think there's a subject I haven't touched, but I sure am loving finding new ones. So,
yeah, well, not only new ones, but it's endless, really. Like you go down a rabbit hole and all of a sudden, I think after all these years that you've been focused on this, probably there isn't much out there that you've missed that you haven't touched on. But how deep do you go with each topic? That's really the question.
Oh, there are so many topics that I haven't really touched on. An interesting one, if I may take the time. The other day I found granny pods. And what the heck is a granny pod? Well, with the tiny house excitement or move, it's putting a tiny house in your backyard, and your mother, whatever relative, can live in there, and you can have your house all to your own. So there's communication systems between the two, and there's a lot of safety gadgets put in there. But I just thought it was a fabulous idea, and I didn't know about it, so I'm learning every day.
Granny pod. That sounds so space age. Let's create a pod for granny.
Yeah.
But it is a good idea. It is a good idea because that way you have them right there and they have their privacy and you have yours. I think it's a great idea. But what's a pod? Like what I'm visualizing is a little eggshell.
No. It's just a regular thing you see on TV. It's a little house. I don't know why they gave it that name, but the gentleman that discovered this idea called them a pod. So
I like it.
There are two other programs that I'd like to bring up, if you don't mind, Tippi. One is for the working caregiver, and that program is called Adult Daycare. I like to call it Senior Spa or Senior Retreat, but they can take their family member before work and pick them up after work. And during the day, the loved one is having lunch, they're baking, they're listening to music, they're playing bingo, anything under the sun, that's where it takes place. And they're safe and comfortable, and you don't have to worry about them.
I love that, but I hate the name Adult Daycare. I think it's very demeaning. But, I like Senior Retreat better. But Adult Daycare kind of puts them in a category of daycare, which is really a word for children. So, yeah, I'm with you on the Senior Retreat. Totally.
Yeah, yeah. Not like that one. But that's an option so that the caregiver can go to work full time because, of course, the income is very important.
Right.
And the other one is, let's say that, Tippi, you want to go on a vacation for a week. Your mother can go to an assisted living for a week, and all she needs to do is bring her suitcases with her toiletries and walk in. And
really?
Physician's order, but that's... And what they have are rooms that are set up specially with fully furnished, everything's there. And she just moves in for the week and they feed her and they have activities. Everything under the sun that you can pop. Doctors will visit. They get their toenails cut if they're diabetic, and they can have x-rays. It's just amazing what, and a dentist comes to them too. So I know it's all under one roof. And you get a week, even if you don't go away, if you're just getting to the point that you're burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be up to a month. It depends on the community, but it could be up to a month. And whatever you need to do. And
what are those places called?
Assisted living. A regular assisted living will
so
have.
Any assisted living facility would have programs where they can do a temporary thing?
It's called respite care or vacation care. And
ooh,
it depends.
I like that.
You like that one, huh?
Yeah, but I don't think my mom would qualify because she's not mobile. And, like, in order for us to take her to a place like that, we'd have to have two people come and pick her up on a wheelchair and take her. She needs so much care. I don't know if they would have that much care available.
Can she stand on her own 2 feet?
She can stand with a walker, but she's wobbly and she could fall down. So she needs somebody behind her at all times.
They will take people up with the two person. They will take two people, what's called two person transfer. So as the stipulation is that she needs to be able to stand so that they can pivot her from the wheelchair to the toilet.
Yeah.
And all the other things that you're talking about that she needs, it's just added on to her care. And the only thing that an assisted living will not take is a feeding tube or anything, injections, anything that's really medical. Otherwise,
right, in a hospital, right. Then she would have to be in a hospital. But also she has no control over her bladder or any of her things. So she would not be, she would be on a diaper. She wouldn't be in a, get up to go.
Yeah, like 99% of the people in memory care. So it's no big deal. It's a great option for you.
Great option, and, especially when you want to leave town.
Yeah. So those are the two programs that most people don't know about that I always like to bring up.
Great, great programs to give up. Anybody that's taking care of anybody really would love to know about it. You know, I think there's so many resources out there that we don't know about when we're in that situation. And unfortunately, we find out about it too late. It's like this is a great program. And the granny part, I love that for people who are halfway independent. That's a great idea. It's a great idea. Yeah, so I bet you have a lot of resources that most people have not heard of.
That's really my goal in life is to find out what the situation is and direct them to the resources in town. Some of them are going to be free. Some of them are not. If I'm not in the area, then or call me. But you can always go to the Area Agency on Aging, and they have all of the government programs under their umbrella. So it's a great way to start.
Definitely a great way to start. And so you and your mother worked together for a long time. And you told me that you traveled all over the world. I was wondering, did you ever hear of this Blue Zone study where they had found what they called the Blue Zones, where people were living for very long, much longer and much healthier lives? Have you heard about that?
Well, people are. I haven't heard that particular way of that research, but think of how many people are 100 years old now that were never, I mean, my mother died at 64 and my father lived till 93. So
wow.
There is a big discrepancy between the two.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. And what I'd like to bring up is that the average American only has $25,000 saved for retirement, and that puts them in the Medicaid program. in seven private pay. So, and then, you know, some people have $1 million and they're going to want the granny pods. So it ranges all the gamuts. And the one question I love to ask the adult children is, how much does your loved one get in Social Security? And when I'm speaking to a crowd, I would say 1/10 of the people in the crowd, the participants, know that. Well, that's the first thing you should know to figure out what's going to happen in the future. So they need to know the finances, and they need to have the legal papers drawn up.
Yeah, and then there's this medical thing. It's called proxy. The proxy that is so important also if they can't make a decision when they're in the hospital. So many things. So you have so many things that you do. So you talk about how to plan for the care. You talk about the fundamentals of caregiving. You talk about the hidden cost and the housing. You talk about how to write a family action plan. I think that really is huge because families are not necessarily working together, and that's so important. You talk about how to handle difficult conversations, so many difficult conversations that you have to have. I know we had such a hard time taking away my mother's car, and if she would have kept driving, she would either have killed herself or somebody else. So it wasn't like we had a choice, but it was so difficult.
And taking the keys is one of the difficult conversations. I wanted to get back, if you don't mind, getting back to the family action plan. A family I worked with as a consultant, the grandson was responsible for mowing the yard, and the senior was very alert-oriented and living in her own home, and he wouldn't do it because he was playing video games. She pulled out that contract, which he had signed, and said, "You made a commitment, young man. You get out there and you mow that yard." And that boy was out the door in 2 seconds and had that lawnmower going. So,
yeah, if you sign a contract, it's your signature right there. Take responsibility. It's really one way, a great way to motivate people to really stand behind what they say they're going to do. Because obviously they signed it and they talked about it. They want to do it. It's just playing video games is more fun, right? So, So I think that's a really smart way of holding them to the fire, holding their feet to the fire. I like that.
And again, it can be a long-distance caregiver or, you know, people in town. It doesn't matter. Everybody can do something, and that's what I'd like to stress. It does not have to be one caregiver, one adult caregiver.
Exactly. And then you talk about self-care for the people who are having to take care of the aging parents or aging relatives, creating a legacy with a book and memories. That's such a great idea too. How many people really think about that? Tips for self-care, that's huge too. How to assess your parents' needs. There's so many little things that seem like it's just little things, but each little thing, each one of those things is huge. It can make a difference between literally life and death or a messed up life. Confusion.
Yes.
It's so important.
And they can make it fun. They don't have to make it serious. I was just writing an article the other day about when the move happens into an assisted living or senior living, they have to downsize. The parents moving from their house maybe of 40 years, the family house, and they're moving down to a one-bedroom apartment. But you can make that move real fun instead of a solemn event. So those are the types of things I like to bring humor into as much as into any situation as much as possible.
Yeah, because otherwise, if you make everything difficult, life is going to be miserable. So it really, that's like in anything, but especially in serious situation. The more, the lighter it is, the easier it is to deal with it. You can't take things too seriously, obviously, or you're not going to make it.
Right.
But
and
yeah.
As you know from your situation right now, how stressful it is on you, the caregiver, and you need to take care of yourself. The first person to get sick is the caregiver. So you need to get out and go for a walk. You need to do your thing, whether it be yoga or journaling is great.
Mm-hmm.
You can journal what your feelings are, what's going on. And then you have that to read at a later date after her passing.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, so I think the bottom line of everything is think about it. Don't ignore it. Don't put your head in the sand and say, I'll worry about it when or if the time will come. Really thinking about it makes you search out, and it's a great start. Start with a caring code and then look for more resources from there. Are you available for private coaching? What is your availability?
Yes. What I do is I do speeches to what I like to do is speeches to corporations, pardon me, and get the word out because there's a matter of having to take leave from the job. And most people, when something, most adults, the first thing is I'm going to quit. But I do individual coaching if it's like you, Tippi, you're doing most of the caregiving and that weight is on your shoulders and there are situations that are emotionally tugging at you. We can do a one-on-one consulting or I can do it with a family to make sure that that family action plan gets done. It's written. Everybody signs it and everybody gets a copy of it. But we work through the childhood fights and disagreements and jealousies because I won't allow them. So we're here for mom. We're not here to talk about your old jealousies. You can do that. I always say leave it outside the door and then we'll.
Yeah, absolutely, Karen. Leave it outside the door, and we are kind of not hearing Karen right now. So if you can hear me, Karen, just go ahead and dial back in so that we can hear it. But if you're going to get together and try to make a plan and try to make it work, bringing your childhood issues and all your issues, which every family has issues, is really counterproductive. It's not something that is going to benefit anyone. So I think it's a great idea. It's a great idea what you said, Karen, is leave it outside. Leave the issues outside. Come in. Let's make a concrete plan. Let's write it down in a contract, sign it, and that way everybody knows exactly what they have to do, and everybody is being clear on what you have to do makes it already so much easier. I think that's 50% of the 50% of the thing. 50% of the plan is knowing what you have to do. So that in itself, if nothing else, if you take nothing else away from Karen, it's about knowing exactly what it is that you can commit yourself to doing, that you can say, yeah, I can do that, and then committing to do it and making a contract, which is brilliant, and signing your name to it. That sounds really good. There's so much more that we can talk about, how to go about it, and so many other issues and so many other aspects of this situation. There are so many people that are in this situation. But since we lost Karen and we can't hear her, I'm going to give you her website where you can go. And not only will you get a wealth of information, But you can get a copy of this book. And if you think just for 1 second that you might need it, then I would say go ahead and get it. It's definitely worth it. It is in an ebook format, and it's KarenOwenLee.com. And I'm going to spell it for you. So Karen is KarenOwenLee.com. That's the
Tippy, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Oh my goodness.
We're back. Well, yeah, that's the great age of computers where they just collapse on you out of nowhere.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. We had collapse with the transit authority today, with a paratransit. And they were saying how nice it was when they had everything on paper and nothing ever collapsed. But there's pluses and minuses to everything. So I think really the place to start is to go and get a copy of the book, go to your website, and is there a way for people to communicate their questions if they have a question of any sort that they can submit to you?
You can always email me through the website, or you can my telephone number's on there.
Okay.
So either way, I'm sitting here just writing articles. So come on and call me.
I know. I love that you write an article every day. I love that. So, yeah, so contact Karen if you specifically have a question that we didn't address, and I'm sure we didn't address so many different things, and then you may be able to get a lot of insight. I personally have been through it. 4 years ago, I would have said, oh, my God, I need you right now. But 4 years of struggling to try to figure out what to do, I think we finally figured it out. But it took us such a long time to do it. And it doesn't have to, does it? You could be prepared. You don't have to go through 4 years of hell just to figure out what you need.
If you have the initiative to do it, you can do it. With the book and setting up a time for us to talk is a great way to back up what you've done in the book and get you well on your way. And what it does is it removes the fear and the guilt from and the shame from not being ready. Mm-hmm. So you'll be ready.
Exactly. So we came to the end of our hour here together, Karen. So what I want to know is if you have any last words of wisdom that you would like to impart on the listening person and on people that are really interested in the subject, which I think everybody should be.
I think it's to call and make an appointment with me and we can talk things through. You can do it on your own if you can handle the stress. But unfortunately, a lot of people are the sandwich generation where they have their children, their husband or wife, and then their senior. And that's an awful lot to juggle between a baseball game and making sure that mom gets fed at the hour that she expects it. So
there you go. That's what you have to do. And in order to do that, it's the website, which is KarenOwenLee.com, Senior Expert. Thank you so much, Karen. That is a lot of really important information. And I'm so glad that somebody's out there doing it. And I would suggest that you do as much educating as possible because, you know, one person can't do everything. It's just not possible.
That's right. So you can come in and do groups, if you have groups that want to get together and do it. So call me if you'd like to just have your own presentation done for your group. That's certainly possible. Tippy, thank you so much. You're absolutely wonderful, and best of luck with your mother.
Thank you so much, Karen. Have a wonderful evening, and we will be following you around and see what you're
good
up to.
Good. That's great.
Have a wonderful evening. What?
Hug your senior.
Oh, God, yeah. I think that's a great idea. I'm going to go hug my senior right now. Now, thank you so much. Now sit back and enjoy the music and think about what we talked about and decide if there's a plan maybe that you need to make right now, because you might be the person that the one that needed. So have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Thing that I've never heard of. I had a girl from Mexico, Marta, that went with me to Japan. And Mexico is a very poor country, so a lot of families, they go dumpster diving together. And they find things in the garbage, so they bring it home and they wash it and they use it. And so when we were in Japan, just because she's used to doing it, she went around to the garbage field in the market and she would come home and say, "Look at this beautiful scarf I found." I was like, "Where did you find it?" She says, "Oh, in the garbage." Like, oh, okay. I thought it was strange, but I never thought my child would do it, ever.